everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek, and I have the big dog back again.
Woof, woof.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, brother?
Josh tried away with us in the house, and we had to figure out a way for us to do this, totally unplanned, but hey, you know, sometimes the best things in life are unplanned.
There you go.
Mention, never mind, I'm not going to go there. So anyway, how are you?
I was unplanned, so here you go.
No, I was going to talk, but never mind. It's a totally different direction, but okay, yeah, so. I was supposed to work today, but then I got a weird message last night saying that I was on call, and I thought, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm working, or does that mean I'm not working? And I guess it means I'm not working, because nobody called me, so.
Well, there you go.
It wasn't necessarily planned that I was going to have the day off, and I know we were going to try to work something out, but hey, here we are. So, anywho, been watching a lot of TV. I know, you got your alerts on.
I swear I had it off.
I've been watching a lot of TV. We started this podcast off with me watching the last season of, or the first season, excuse me, the last episode of Rick and Morty on HBO. And what a fabulously demented, crazy show that is. It's almost like they just nonstop were maybe doing drugs and going, but what if we also did this? And then we did this. And then we like random people just randomly running in with ideas and going, let's do it. Let's just make it. Whatever. It'll be funny.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying to you before this when we started. I was like, that show had to be great to make because it wasn't any idea that was off the board.
No. I mean, literally, the episode before this, he had the he rigged up the cable box where he could watch interdimensional TV where people were made of toast or chairs or butter or corn and, you know, different dimensions. They were, you know, either celebrities or it was crazy. It was just crazy. I was like, okay, I get it. Like, why not? So, anywho, I'm digging Rick and Morty. I don't watch it very often. Just every now and then I find myself with some time and I go, yeah, let's just watch an episode because they're only like 22 minutes long. So, but it's good stuff. I've actually been watching a few things that I don't know if you've watched, and I kind of was curious. I've got some winners and losers this week.
All right. Well, you shoot off. I haven't really watched a lot because I've been working a lot, but I'll tell you if I've heard of it or if I've watched it.
I want to tell you about the worst movie I've ever saw. Okay.
That was Grease 2.
No. It's called Cosmic Sin. It's on Netflix. It stars Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo. Bruce Willis must have lost a bet. Like, he must have been playing cards with someone, and they were like, listen, since you lost so famously bad, I got this script, and you're going to have a part in it, and everyone's going to be like, oh, let's watch this Bruce Willis movie. It should be good, and it's not. It's it's one of those that, as I'm watching it, I'm like, why wasn't this advertised? Like, it's Bruce Willis. Then you start watching it, you're like, so what's on my phone? Let's see.
It's like Pluto Nash.
And then every now and then you look up and you're like, this crap is still on. And it's horrible. It's so horrible. Like, I left the room with it on to go make a snack. I left the room to go use the restroom. I could have left the room to go to Food Lion and it would have been fine. I don't think my life was in any way affected by this crap of a movie. But everything you need to know is in the preview. It just came out on Netflix not long ago. And in the preview, there's some woman and she says some ominous line like, you know, the big cosmic sin is eradicating an entire people from the universe. And it's like, okay, like genocide of an entire planet or something like that. So then the whole movie is basically going into the fact that at the end of it, they're going to genocide an entire planet. So, but the whole thing is stupid. It is stupid upon stupid. And there's some actors you're going to recognize in it. And you're like, how did they get rooted into this? Again, everyone must have lost a bet. And I don't know who funded it, but it was terrible. So that was my worst show that I've seen. Well, I'm not going to say ever. I'm going to say this year. The worst movie I've ever seen this year.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you a surprise movie that I actually liked. You may actually dig this. It's called See You Yesterday. It's a Spike Lee joint production.
Okay, well, you got me started good.
It's these young black kids that are in high school. This young girl who's a brainiac, and it's all about time travel. Like the previews show you, she invents something to go back in time a day with her best friend. and they go back in time and something goes wrong and they keep having to go back in time to fix the thing that went wrong. And it gets progressively worse every time they go back to try and fix the thing that was wrong. And the best part about the whole thing, though, even though like all of it's good, the acting in it's good, the special effects are good, the storyline is good. The best part about it, though, is in the beginning, they're in class and they're like studying in their books and everybody's quiet. It's like the last day of school and they look up and their teacher is Michael J. Fox.
Okay. All right.
So that's my win of the week. I actually like that a lot. That was pretty good. yeah. So it's called See You Tomorrow. So anyway, or See You Yesterday. See You Yesterday. See you
yesterday. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the idea makes sense. You know, you change one thing and then you come back and it gets worse. I mean,
yeah. It's like sort of like the butterfly effect, except it's just like a day, you know, she can only go back a day cause she's learning how to, she builds this thing in her garage and it's so cute. I mean, I think the thing I like the most about it was it breaks down all the stereotypes of what you're supposed to think, you know, with social media and movies as we grew up in the '80s and nineties where, you know, it was always the white kids that were always the smartest and, or the Chinese kids or something like that. And here you got a young black kid who's like the genius of the neighborhood. And it's like, of course she is. Like, look at her. She's into it. This is great. It's all positive message stuff. Like, and it's a great movie. Like, you forget that you're watching anything other than just a great movie. I love it. I loved it. I was like, this is awesome. This would be fun for kids to watch. This is fun for adults to watch. It does deal with some social issues. It does deal with a little bit of, you know, tough situations and where they live and stuff like that. But the story is great. And the way they did it, they set them up for another movie. Like, they can make more movies from this. Okay. So, See You Yesterday. I recommend it.
Gosh.
Now, I want to tell you about Walking Dead season 10.
Okay.
Cause they're still walking and they're still dead.
There's a lot of walking going on in this show.
There's a lot of walking.
I would have probably gotten tired of the walking by now.
I'm a little tired of the walking. I'll be honest with you.
That's why this is the last one, I believe, right?
I hope so, because this season should have been called Walking During COVID, because they filmed every episode as though there's like one or two actors in it, and that's it. So quarantine is happening. Some crazy storylines that they did. All of it pretty pointless. It's probably the worst season they've ever had. So there's my take on The Walking Dead. That was pretty simple.
Well, now here's the thing. I got to be honest. I've never actually seen one full episode.
The first couple seasons are good. It's like any show. Okay. You have an idea, you have a group of writers, everybody's excited about the project and you sell it like you're going to make four seasons. That's how every show is pitched. We're going to make four seasons and they go, great. What's it going to cost to make? Well, it's going to cost this. What's the story arc? Here's the story arc. Okay, cool. Let's do it. And then you break it up and then you make it and everybody's right. Excited. And after four seasons, you've usually spent your biggest storyline. And then if it's a success, then you renegotiate. And a lot of people who created it go, I'm moving on to something else. And you bring in a new team and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. But usually around the four seasons when it either goes or it goes. So Walking Dead is not like it's not immune to the same problems that every show out there has. If you think about it, every show out there is either canceled or they just quit. Because they're tired. Like, everybody's tired of doing the thing. I mean, that's why some of the main actors of the show left the show, because they were like, we've done it. Let's just get it over with. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think this is going to be their downfall. I think this season, most people are going to go, yeah, why are we still doing this show? This is stupid.
This is going to be their season 7 of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, something like that. This is more like, I don't know, we still have people showing up. They're on payroll. Let's keep them employed, I guess. I don't know. They introduced a new character, which I really liked. It was sort of a chaotic young girl who imagines scenarios. And she's sort of like the punk rocker looking chick with she's Spanish. She's got a pink furry vest coat thing on and she has a machine gun. And when everybody else is normal, she's a little crazy, like a little out there, They come across her in a city and she's like rigged up zombies as like props, like they're living everyday life. So she's got them like holding teacups and having tea and then she sort of snapped and went off the deep end. And that part is creative. I like that part. And I wish they could have done more of that. But again, I think COVID took this show over and everybody sort of is half in it and half out. But anyway, I'm going to get to the Bad Batch. I'm going to get there.
I just want to
tell you about all the dorkiness that I've watched. So there's a guy that my wife works with named Rich, who's into a lot of the same kind of shows that I am. And he apparently watched something on Amazon that just came out called Jolt. Now Jolt has Kate Beckinsale in it.
I have heard, actually a friend of mine told me he watched this and did not really like it.
I did not care for it either. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 5.5. It was okay. I mean, she's beautiful.
Right. She's the only reason. She's a saving grace from what he told me.
The story's kind of stupid. There's a lot of really good actors in it. Stanley Tucci's in it. Kind of an unusual role for him to have. There's lots of people in it that you go, oh, I know them, because they've been in all sorts of things. So they talked a lot of people into this, and if it wasn't for the fact that she was in it, I probably wouldn't have watched it. But I watched it, and I was like, all right, I'm not angry about it, but also, I don't care.
It was 2 hours of entertainment.
Yeah, hour 40 or whatever. I mean, I had time to like play Doodle Jump on my phone and check out, you know, the weather and make a sandwich. And then once in a while, I'd walk in and she's kicking somebody's butt, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So anyway,
that's probably how I'm going to end up watching Space Jam 2.
Yeah, that's problematic. That's a problematic movie. There is a series that came on Netflix that's sort of a buzz amongst, I guess, the ladies, called Sex Life. It's like the word sex with a slash mark and then life afterward. It's got a chick in it that was in a show I used to watch called Persons of Interest. Her name is, I wrote it down because I can't pronounce it. Sarah Shahi, S-H-A-H-I, Shahi, I don't know. It's supposed to be about her being this woman who moved to New York, had a wild sexual life in New York, and then fell in love with this dude who basically let her down. And then she got married. She married this guy who was safe, and he was a nice guy, and she had this picture-perfect life. And the show starts off with her just being like a mom with two kids. And she's like, but I miss this excitement. I miss this part of my life. So she's like writing in her journal, and then her husband finds it. And then all hell breaks loose because suddenly she bumps into the old boyfriend and it's this crazy adventure. And I was like, this is probably a really good romance novel. Like if you read this, you'd be like, whoa, holy crap. Like, but that's what it is. It's a romance novel. It's a show romance novel. So okay. The big thing that I keep seeing on social media though, is everyone's like, oh, you got to watch episode 3 minute, whatever. And I'm like, why? So I watched the show and apparently there's a moment where the ex-boyfriend is in the shower and the husband goes to the gym to like snoop on him or whatever. And they sort of look at each other in the shower for a moment and the dude's got a hog, you know? And I was like, whoa, full frontal. All right. Very, very, okay. Very, very impressive, sir. It's like, good Lord. You know, aces to Netflix for the full frontal male nudity. Not a lot of that going on nowadays, but you know, hey, it's a new world, right? So ladies, if you're out there listening, go check out Sex Life episode 3. You ain't got to watch the rest of it. I mean, you will. Let's face it. It's the story that women want to hear. The woman who wants it all. Whatever. moving on. I am watching Sopranos and I'm on season 4. I just finished season 4. Yeah,
you mentioned that last time that y'all started rewatching that.
Yeah. So, season 4 of Sopranos, basically anybody who want dead is going to die. I love it. It's like the predictable thing of you keep rooting for the bad guy, even though he's worse and worse as he goes on. I wonder if this is the show that invented that type of character, that archetype character.
You mentioned it before. It's either that or Breaking Bad, one or the other.
I think this was out before Breaking Bad.
I think it was. I just don't think that it got the hoopla because it was not as, it was an HBO and a lot of people didn't have, you know, the special cable, extra cable at that time.
Yeah.
By the time Breaking Bad came out, it was on A&E, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot of that A&E came with regular cable.
Either A&E or AMC. It's one of those.
It was AMC. Actually, it was AMC. That's what it was. So I think once that came out like that, Breaking Bad kind of broke that barrier a little bit more because everybody had AMC pretty much.
Yeah.
Came with your cable versus HBO you had to pay extra for.
Yeah, but that was like a lot of people don't remember all of this came out before streaming. So if you missed it, oh, well, you missed it. Like you're supposed to like set your timer and sit in front of the TV. Or if you had a VCR, you could record it on your VCR. Right now, kids are listening going, what's a VCR? Google it. I mean, the way technology is going, it's like literally you could just ask Alexa. Well, I don't want to say that too loud. She'd be like, a VCR is, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up. Yeah, you could just ask your device.
Yeah, I'm surprised mine didn't say something.
Right. What is a VCR? Yeah. So anyway, Bad Batch. We got to watch two episodes. I got behind two episodes. I actually got to watch both of them sort of catch up. Lots of things happened. We got introduced to characters that I have to Google because I don't know who they are particularly. I know they're going to pop up later because they don't waste any talent. Even the little green guy that's the mob boss fellow with his horn cut off, he's going to come up later. I know he's going to be part of the thing later on. And we obviously get to see an interaction between Omega and him to where there's going to be a bond and he's going to somehow help her or help them because of this whole situation. It was interesting to see Sid kicked out of her place and this new mob boss take over and them have to figure out how to get them out. And in the process, they meet a new gang of bad dudes who everyone's afraid of. Apparently they don't have faces, but they talk and don't hesitate to kill people like immediately. I was like, who are these guys?
Yeah. Where have they been? You never heard their names at all.
Don't even know who they are, but apparently they're really awful.
I guess that's really, really like way far on the outer rim area, you know, like it's, you know.
I don't know, but even the mob bosses were scared of them. Like all the crime lord family, they were like, oh, these guys, oh, you don't want to mess with these guys. And I'm like, I don't know who they are, but whatever. Maybe they're attached to Kang the Conqueror.
You really want to bridge that universe, don't you?
How crazy would that be? Deadpool comes out with a lightsaber. What? You weren't expecting that, were you?
I saw a funny thing. Actually, no, you sent it. I'm sorry. That's right. You sent it on the TikTok about Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And how technically, I guess, Matt Damon is a Disney princess.
Yeah. So in Captain Marvel, whenever Stan Lee makes his appearance, he did it all in every one of Marvel's movies. There was some scene in there with him. He's in a diner reading a script for Mallrats. And so there's a tie-in between that and Dogma. And somewhere in there, Matt Damon was in a Loki outfit playing Loki. And it's just a funny scenario that could be a thing. And you and I were talking about the possibility of Jay and Silent Bob being Jedis. What? Or hanging out on the street corner with Deadpool or Mace Windu talking some shit to him, you know?
Then they're going to bring in Pulp Fiction somehow.
Yeah. It'd be hilarious. Get Quentin Tarantino in the Marvel Universe. All
right. Now there's some serious drugs going on.
Oh, Lord. That'd be funny. Or that might actually be an episode of Rick and Morty. I haven't gotten to that season yet. I mean,
they're stopping a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, I mean, they're bridging gaps kind of like The Simpsons do, where they're bringing in other genres at times. And I've seen, like, apparently this last season, there's all sorts of stuff that happens with pop culture mixed in. There's a Simpsons that was advertised on HBO where Lisa Simpson is holding a lightsaber, or Maggie's holding a lightsaber. Like, I was like, what's going on? And I watched it. It was a little short. It was kind of cute, but anyway. So
That there's something something. No, that was Family Guy. The Simpsons did one too, but yeah, the Family Guy did the something something Dark Side.
Yeah. So back to the Bad Batch. This last episode, they get to have another interaction with Crosshair, and there is the introduction to Gregor. Rex sends them on a mission. They go find a planet where there's a hidden base inside of a mountain, and they have to go rescue Gregor. Well, they don't know he's Gregor. They just know that he's another clone that Rex says, I need you to go save this guy. And so you're the whole time you're like, who is this guy? And then he introduces himself as Gregor, and he's got this crazy nervous laugh. And you're like, wait a second. I know this guy from Clone Wars. Whenever they were sitting around like making names for themselves instead of just being numbers, Gregor was a little nuts back then, but he became like a leader in the process. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Gregor comes up later in Rebels when he's old man and they're out there helping out Hera and Ezra. You know,
when they're on the farm out there.
Yeah. Yeah. They're old and they got white beards and they're bald, you know, kind of like us. Well, I got the white beard. You're bald.
Very, very relevant.
So anyway, so immediately when he says Gregor, I go, oh, I know who that is. And like, Dolores was sitting on the couch and she was like uninterested. She's playing on her phone. And I'm like, that's Gregor. And she's like, I don't care. And I'm like, yeah, but
that's exactly what Chrissy would have said.
But it's Gregor. And she was like, I don't care. I'm like, okay. So anyway, we get to see an interesting battle take place, and Hunter is left behind and is captured by the bad guys.
Yes.
And we're introduced to the War Mantle idea, which is basically the program that is going to have regular people throughout the galaxy volunteering to be stormtroopers to fight for the Empire against those pesky rebels. So this is where we get in that weird gray area from Clerks 2, right? Or Clerks, where he's talking about, you think you got a nice government job, you're working for the Empire, and then all of a sudden some pesky rebels come and blow up your base, man. You could be a plumber, man. You got kids on Elrond, and you got, you know, you're trying to make a wage. You got dental. And then all of a sudden, there they come, and they just blow you up. So yeah, there's all these people that are volunteering to be stormtroopers, and we see them phasing out the Kaminos. There's even the conversation where they're like, you know, arrest them and take them into custody and blah, 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 blah. And we know from reading online from the Wikipedia that one of their first tests of the Death Star is to blow up Kamino. That's why the Kaminoans are no longer in existence later on. They are vaporized, baby.
That's why Omega is so important.
Yep. So what's going to happen to Omega? Like, what's the big storyline? What's the...
I don't know.
Is she going to die?
If she does, I mean, you're right. I mean, like you said, you said that you've heard, like, you know, the last scene is like this big, you know, powerful, musical, emotional. Yeah,
it's supposed to make you cry in the last scene. So do you think it's going to be her that dies, or you think it's going to be the Bad Batch that dies, or do you think... It's got to be one of those characters. It has to be one of the main characters or all of the characters.
It could be all of them.
Yeah. Well, now that Crosshair has custody of Hunter, like it makes you wonder, okay.
Is he going to bring wash him and put the chip back in? And make
Is he going to try to put the chip back in him? Yeah. Or is Hunter going to figure out a way? Like he's always scheming and trying to come up with plans and you know, strategizing. Is he going to figure out a way to somehow bang Crosshair over the head and bring him around, or knock him out just long enough to take the chip out?
I don't know.
A little too much of a happy ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're gonna have a sad kind of like emotional style finish, and again, we don't even know how many episodes. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if it's Clone Wars, we're looking at like 22 episodes in a season.
Right. Well, I just Googled it earlier today, and they already have the names of episode 15 and 16 listed, which are the next two coming up. And I'm like, okay, well, geez, I don't know how far this is going to go, but they've already named the episodes. And I'm like, okay, so more coming. Now, apparently they didn't name War Mantle until the thing came out. They were holding that back because they wanted to let it sit. The name War Mantle was used in Rogue One whenever the big plans for the Death Star was involved and the discussion of their Rebel Alliance, or not the Rebel Alliance, the Empire's plan to like broaden their horizons and take over more and more. Yeah. So all of that was in Rogue One. And apparently they mentioned Wormantle a few times in it because that was referenced online. And I don't know who all came up with the idea for Wikipedia or who moderates it or whatever, but they do a fantastic job. it's like a term paper for my 17-year-old fantasies. I mean, everything is like highlighted and click here to find out more about that and click here to find more about this. And I'm like, this is the term paper I wanted to write when I was 17.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's like Wikipedia that, I mean, I'm sure everyone has opportunity to kind of, you know, update and change it and all that, but there's definitely some dedicated yeah. canon, read the books. I mean, all the story backlines.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled to be part of it. I'm thrilled that we're in a time where we get to watch it and talk about it and share in the experience and all that stuff. And I'm really happy over all the crazy content that I'm reading on TikTok where people are coming up with their own little sidebar jokes and Easter egg things of it. And it's just hilarious. I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday and, as we're talking, I go, wait a second, how old are you? And he's apparently as old as my youngest kid, which is interesting. Teaching this guy, he's 24. And yeah, so that makes me feel old.
Don't even get me started on that one.
So yeah, I part of getting old is trying to figure out like what the next step is, like all the time. You know what I mean? So I have aging parents and my dad now is selling their home in Maine and they're moving to Georgia full time. He was contemplating renting it or selling it and apparently has sold it. He was just kind of beating around the bush up there asking questions. They went home to sort of tidy up. Trish's grandson, Brandon, has a wedding on September 11th. So he never forgets.
Oh,
snap. Yes. And, no, I'm just kidding. It was coincidence. And I said the joke and his dad, Todd, was in the army and Todd didn't even understand it until I said it. And he was like, oh, I totally missed that joke. Oh, he goes, that's good. I like that. So, yeah. But they went up there for the wedding and to kind of figure out what to do with the house and was just beating around the bush. And someone goes, oh, well, so-and-so would buy it right now. And so they looked it up on Zillow to see what it was worth. And she was like, I'll take it. So they're signing paperwork and he was like, wow, that was way quicker than I thought it would be.
Right now is a seller's market big time.
Yeah.
Well, buyer's market either way, one or the other. It's, I mean, there's people buying like crazy.
So here's my situation. I am going to go to the wedding. My wife does not have time to go, but I'm going to go. So it's Labor Day weekend is when the Black Crowes concert is.
Right. It's the weekend after that.
So what my plan is to leave Atlanta and then go pick up dad and then drive from there to Maine and then spend time with dad in Maine and then go to the wedding and then come back. Because dad's making more than one trip down bringing stuff. And the plan apparently is he's going to come down that weekend, I guess. And then I'm going to pick him up, leave in Atlanta and just go to Maine. So,
okay.
So that's that plan. I know you and I are tentatively talking about you coming and riding with me, but that may need to be adjusted slightly.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I can drive to Atlanta.
Yeah. So anywho, this weekend I'm going to see the Big G,
for
his birthday. And, I've got him some little things that he's not anticipating to kind of surprise him. And I'm going to take the fancy camera that makes me look like a movie star. I'm going to take it down there and kind of film him being a rock star and see if we can make some content for his YouTube page and his Instagram to promote the 95 band. And we'll see what happens. Surprisingly, apparently Josh West is going.
Really?
Yeah. Just out of the blue. He was like, I'm going. I was like, oh, sweet. So, hey, cool. He's going to go to visit his folks who live apparently outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and then meet us down there. And I think Gary's going and Gary's bringing.
I heard Greg said Gary and maybe a friend of Gary's might be coming.
Yeah. A friend of Gary's is going. So that'd be cool.
I I really hate I'm gonna miss it, but I just, unfortunately, I can't get the time off because it's the same time one of the other managers is taking a time off for a wedding.
Well, and I really like the fact that Lane did the same thing my wife did and went, ah, screw this. I'm getting out of town and go visit my sister. Which is hilarious because that's exactly what my wife would do. My wife would be like, I'm not staying around here with you guys. I'm going to get out of town. So I think that's funny. I am going to stop at Bucky's down in Warner Robins.
Apparently you have to. I don't know. Apparently it's not even a choice anymore.
I'm going to make a pilgrimage. I may have to make a YouTube video. I don't know this.
That's what I'm waiting for. The YouTube video of Bucky's, man.
This sounds like an experience.
Let me see all the hype.
Yeah. This sounds like one of those experiences. And I'm sure when I walk in with a camera, they're going to be like, oh, look, another one. Cause it apparently happens a lot. There's people out there. Like I YouTubed it and there's people out there that literally go on vacation to Bucky's around the country and just film themselves going to Bucky's all day. And I'm like, what? How is this a thing?
Really?
Yeah. So here's the thing is we're having one built right here off of I-95 at exit 170. And it's right where I work. So every day when I get ready to leave, I get to see the progress of them building it further and further. There was a report done online where they're going to have 128 gas pumps there.
What?
The building is 56, I think it's 56,000 square feet. It looks like a miniature mall. It's so big. They're going to have to put another stoplight there because that traffic is just going to be ridiculous. But yeah, so we're getting one in Florence and now Greg's contemplating moving back to Florence just because of Bucky's.
Hey, that'd be a good reason to have him back.
I mean, he's not going to, but he's like,
no, of course not. But no. You know,
yeah,
he might come visit his mom more often though.
He might. Yeah. I'll get one of those weird messages like before when he's like, oh, did you know Greg was in town? And I'm like, that bastard never called me, you know?
Oh, it's like the King sighting.
Yeah. Like Rodney just randomly shows up once in a while. We didn't even talk about Rodney showing up. I know.
That's what we're about to go to right now, apparently.
Yeah. So I did a podcast the other day, and my wife goes, you just glazed over the fact that your buddy Rodney popped into town from New York all of a sudden. And I was like, I did? She's like, you mentioned it like in passing, but you didn't even talk about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyway, we had a King sighting. Rodney, if you guys don't know the joke, Rodney King, Google it. our friend Rodney lives in New York and came down to visit. His folks live in North Carolina and he apparently has been working everywhere. He's a food scientist, works for, I'm not gonna say he works for
Body Armor. It's Body Armor.
Works for Body Armor.
Armor. They just got bought out by Coke, but yeah, he's in Greenville, but he works out of Greer like 4 days a week.
Yeah. And he's a food scientist. So he's like their quality control guy, one of their quality control guys. And he's got a very interesting work history. I'd love to have him on the podcast one day to talk about, especially the fact that he worked for Dr. Pepper for a while and was officially the doctor who fixed their product line from time to time. But anyway, he just randomly texts out of the blue and it's unusual in our group chat for him to ever text because he's usually so busy. But he just randomly texts, so what's the plans this weekend? And I'm like, you don't normally ask that. I'm like, we were literally, like, we'd worked our butts off all week long. Like, I think that was the week I did, like, 66 hours in a week. And then Dolores was driving us to the beach because a friend of ours had a place at the beach. They were basically gifting us for two nights. And she's driving in traffic, and I said, Ronnie just texted. And she was like, for real? I said, yeah. Wants to know what we're doing this weekend. And I was like, what the heck's going on there? She's like, I don't know. Reply to him. So yeah, he was like, I'm thinking about heading your way. And I was like, what? Where are you down visiting your folks? And he's like, yeah. He said, I came down to visit and they're not here. They actually went to Charleston. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's what he was saying. He said he was supposed to drive them to Charleston and go with them. But then some of their family friends decided they were going to go ahead of time.
Yeah.
So he had a little free extra time.
Yeah. So he swung by in North Myrtle Beach and met us, and we went out to eat crab legs, and we scolded anyone for eating hush puppies, as we should. but yeah, we had a good time hanging out. It was good to see him. He looks good. And then apparently after he left me, he went to go visit you.
Yeah, he stopped by the campground for a minute, but I was closing up, and we literally had just finished closing. So I had a bunch of paperwork to do, but I walked him around the park for a minute just to show it to him. And then I met him at the hotel later and we had a couple drinks and hang out for a few minutes.
Good. Excellent. So yeah, it was good to see him. Apparently he also went to Columbia to visit Drawdy.
Yeah, he was on his way back. He was going to stop. Drawdy's like, yeah, right outside of Lugoff, I believe he said.
Okay. Yeah. So then made the rounds. I guess eventually ended up in Charleston because I saw pictures from him down there. But yeah, I told him, I said, you know, it's funny because everybody jokes about how a Rodney sighting is sort of like a Bill Murray sighting. You could tell people you did it, but they're like, no one's going to believe you.
I always call it like a unicorn, but the Bill Murray makes more sense.
Yeah. So then I guess like a day or two later, it popped up on our Facebook feed. It was his 7-year anniversary.
Of us being in New York
of the fabulous wedding that we, yeah, I still say that's the coolest wedding I ever been to. I mean, the procession of the Sanskrit wedding, the Hindu wedding was amazing. And then the fun party we had later during the traditional wedding was epic. I mean,
it carried on for 2 days.
Yeah. I'm amazed we all had the ability to stand upright. I mean, some of us did.
Yeah.
You on the other hand.
Company included did not make it quite all the way up the whole time.
You went sleepy time on the couch, but that's okay.
That's all right. I was able to get back up and do it again though.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was kind of cool. I hate that we didn't get to see Anuja, but also it was kind of cool to see Rodney and I'm glad he's doing great. And, Yeah,
he's they're getting ready to move again. Did he tell you that?
Yeah, somewhere a little better.
They're moving closer to the city. They're moving to Jersey. Remember where we were whenever we went to the Westin Hotel with the Bryce Moose's family? They're moving to that area, Jersey City. They're literally his view from his apartment is the harbor.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier for her to commute because I guess she's getting ready to have to go back to work a couple days a week.
Yeah. I guess they're doing more in-person stuff than online, but it's closer to mass transit, so it's not as bad a commute. Of course, yeah. You know, you got to think about that kind of thing when you live up there. I just saw on Twitter, actually, I get my news from Twitter oftentimes, where there's a lot of businesses in New York, places to eat, entertainment-wise, and stuff like that, where they're going to require you show proof of vaccination in order to enter their facility.
I had heard of it. I've heard that was going to be something, but I hadn't actually seen like where it's actually a real thing.
So here in South Carolina, we've not had a mandate yet for masks again, but I went out in public today to Home Depot and to Food Lion and almost everybody was wearing masks except me. And I was like, did I miss something? And I looked at the doors and there wasn't anything on the doors. But I guess people are being a little extra cautious right now since there's so many extra reports of this Delta variant or whatever it is.
The Delta variant, yeah. Variant. Actually, Greg, I sent something to Greg on Sunday. I sent a message to him because I was trying to figure out because I haven't been vaccinated yet.
Yeah.
I was choosing to wait a little while to see, you know, long-term effects kind of thing, if there's any kind of, you know, residual, you know, whatever. And now when the Delta variant and they're talking about possibly, you know, maybe reintroducing the mask ordinance and stuff like that, I'm thinking, you know, force everybody else's safety, not just for mine, but everybody else's safety. Maybe it's time for me to get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
So I wanted to check with Greg and see which one he thought was the right one to go with. Apparently the Delta variant, even though it is causing more people to get it, there's still lowering the number of deaths, which he says is the most important part. So it makes you sick, but it doesn't actually kill you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
So that was the thing I was on. So he said that the Pfizer one's probably the best one and then the Moderna. So
I got the best one. Yay.
I figure I will probably end up getting the Pfizer one here. Not today, but my next day off, I'm going to try and schedule it and go ahead and get vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, some people were complaining about a sore arm or whatever. I didn't even have a sore arm. It was just like, whatever.
Well, it's a needle. I mean, you're gonna have a little soreness. I mean, that's just.
I mean, if you bump a door frame, I did bump a door frame once. I was like, hey, but other than that, I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I always bruise whenever I get any kind of shot.
That's because we need to cut back on the alcohol, Mr. Treadaway.
Yes, yes.
Thins the blood, there, buddy.
Yes.
But, anywho,
All right. So I had something that I, and it's an older movie, and I'm sure you've probably seen it, and I'm sure most anybody who's listening to this has probably seen it as well. But I saw it for the first time about a week ago, and I was real impressed. Have you seen the movie The Soloist with Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr.?
Is that where he's like a savant, but he's homeless?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent a message to a friend of mine who's a celloist, and she kind of poo-pooed on it. She's like, yeah, but he didn't really play it in the movie, so I kind of didn't really get into it. I'm like, I get it. But I mean, but the story, the movie, and it was based on a real, it was based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah. He got a lot of praise during that time for playing that part, because it brought light to the real guy's situation. And I guess it was able to help him out in real life. You know, I don't remember watching it. I remember it was a long time ago. I just remember watching it and thinking, you know, that's sort of like a superpower in a way, which, I mean, nowadays we have all sorts of shows where someone's got a superpower or a super ability of some kind, and we all marvel at their ability to do this thing. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, very inspirational, like if you're young, because then you go, well, maybe I could learn to do that. But most of us just look at it and go, oh, that was entertaining, and we move on, and we... Bless you. And we don't, you know, we watch it and we want to emulate it, but at the same time, we got a lot going on in our own lives, and we're distracted, and we're also just consuming content. So we're not literally going to be learning to play the cello or, you know, learn Kung Fu or something like that. But somebody will. Somebody's going to do it.
Listen, we're in the Matrix. You can learn Kung Fu.
Well, when they come out with that little thing that I can just hit the button and learn it, then great. But, I'm a little tied up right now. I got my plate full. So yeah. I don't know. This sort of brings it full circle back to watching that show Jolt, whatever, Kate Beckinsale. We're watching her kick everybody's butt, and I know that, you know, nowadays everything is stylized into a sequence of events, kind of like a dance of choreography. You got a lot of stunt people out there that are like, all you got to do is this, this, and this. We'll slow it down and we'll speed it up later, you know, and then it makes everybody look like they can kick everybody's butt. And it's like, that's great. Fun times. But at the same time, it's like, it's a little much after a while.
That's how I feel about, like, my buddy was just telling me that he just watched Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah.
I jokingly said, what do they do? Where'd they go this time? Space? And he's like, actually, yeah. I was like, really? I was like, at what point do they just say, no more? Can't do it. There's nowhere else to go.
When the money stops coming in, that's when.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched every single one since 4, but after 4, I've kind of just checked out.
I think I've seen 2 of them all the way through, and then I kind of get the gist now. Like, it's fine. Just
cars and...
It's a lot of testosterone
family.
And...
Cars and family.
And apparently if you just keep shifting, it keeps making a noise like you're still going up, and I don't know. I'm like, weren't you just in 3rd? How did you get to 2nd again? That's so stupid. They got 15 gears in your car? Dummy. And I'm sure most of the kids watching it are going, what are they doing with that thing? Because no one nowadays knows how to drive a stick.
Right.
Except us old guys.
It's your car theft deterrent.
Yeah, except us old guys, and we're not watching that crap. So there's that. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, so I saw a little thing the other day. It's like, yes, I still write in cursive, and I know how to tell time, but it's analog.
I can't write in cursive anymore. I quit doing it years ago. Been printing, but my printing is so horrible it looks like cursive.
mine looks like Sanskrit.
See, it's all squishy words.
I can still read yours. I sometimes can't even read my own handwriting.
I sometimes can't read my own. I look at it and go, what did I write? Is that an S? I don't know, whatever. It doesn't help that I got one good eyeball, so there's that too.
Lens isn't working as good as it was.
No, it's fine. It's just that one focus is really good and one doesn't focus too good. And so when you're looking at something in the middle, they try to do this weird zoning thing where it's like depth perception of the letters.
I gotcha.
It's just a little different. I do want to tell you about something that I've been watching on YouTube, and it's not long. It's pretty easy to watch. So there's this guy, Casey Neistat, which I've talked about a lot, big inspiration on YouTube about how to film things. He shows you a lot of behind the scenes stuff of how he films stuff. Well, he has an older brother named Van Neistat, just like you drive a van, Van Neistat, V-A-N. Van's an interesting guy. Van made movies and stuff like that in the past. Van had a huge addiction problem, got clean, is now with his baby mama, common law wife, and their son. And he lives in, I think it's Northern California. But he's making videos now on YouTube where he hasn't before. Like, he just started a channel this year. Okay. And he came out with a few videos that he'd recorded stuff back in 2009 of a trip that he took with some friends. He likes riding motorcycles and dirt bikes and stuff like that. And he convinced three of his friends to go ride dirt bikes with him. And not just any adventure, but they went to Baja California.
Oh, nice.
So he got this idea apparently from going, he'd bought this motorcycle and had gone to get it serviced. And apparently the guy he was talking to at the service shop was like, wow, you got 26,000 miles on this bike already? And like, it was like really new, but he was like, yeah, I took it to overseas and I rode it all over Europe, including the Alps. And he goes, that was the most beautiful trip ever. And the guy goes, yeah, Alps are cool. And he's like, wait, what do you mean Alps are cool? He's like, best trip I ever took was Baja. He was like, what? So he talked to his friends, and he's, he's one of those guys kind of like I am, where if you have an idea, you can sort of spitball it and romanticize it and paint a picture and talk your friends into it and be like, hey guys, doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So he did that with his friends. One of his friends had rode bikes, rode motorcycles for a long time. And two of the others had never rode motorcycles.
Sorry. How do you do it?
I know. Now people are going to hate you because you did that in their ears. But two of the friends had never rode motorcycles before, but they were like, I'm in. That sounds like fun. So he went out and he bought like a used pickup truck, and they drove from Connecticut to San Diego with two motorcycles in the back and two motorcycles on a trailer, got all the way down to San Diego, and then drove across the border into Mexico while he rode his motorcycle. And they all filmed each other doing stuff, got into Mexico, got on their motorcycles and started riding, and basically went on a Baja adventure. And it was pretty cool for a while, but one of the guys was really inexperienced. And he laid the motorcycle down a good bit. He broke it a couple times and they mended it. And at a certain point, he basically has a breakdown and says, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not having fun. I'm going home. And Van is a good movie creator and storyteller. And he shows like a background flash of when they were young, maybe 5 years old, hanging out. And he's my oldest friend. We've been friends since we were this little. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And he's like, but he took a big risk going on this trip. He's never rode a motorcycle before. He's an accountant in Florida. And he's like, but here he is. He stuck it out until he couldn't anymore. And nobody blames him. And he took a plane ride the next day and flew out and went back home. He said a week after he got home, he quit his job and he opened up a motorcycle repair shop, and he still does that today. And I was like, what? Cause this was like 2009. So we're talking 11 years later. Wow. And homeboy is still running a motorcycle shop. Like, he's like, we've since been on many rides together. I'm like, what a cool, like, interesting point of a story. But he goes on and talks about all of his friends in this very intimate, romantic way. And it's all tied into this adventure that he filmed and just never put anywhere. He just had it, like, backlogged on his computer. He just filmed a bunch of stuff. So literally, he shows you on his computer where he's got file after file after file of things that they'd done. And he just put them together and made a movie and narrated it. And it's awesome. It's on YouTube right now. It's the latest videos he put out. It's called Van Neistat. And it's really good. Immediately I thought of you guys, and I thought about the fact that at times in our life, we are in a sort of pattern of the status quo. And there are moments where we get to take adventures. And this is an adventure movie that I watched, a small, whether it be 6 minutes a piece movie that was broken up into like five parts. It was like watching a little movie of time of a real life event that they did. And I thought, you know, this is the kind of thing that we all sort of dream about and want to do and often don't do. This is the sort of thing that my wife and I got to do when we went to Hawaii, where we just basically bounced and we're like, okay, we're in another country, or not another country, but
you know, yeah, right.
Basically, yeah. Basically another country.
Basically.
Hey, let's have an adventure. What do you want to do? Let's do this. Okay. this is sort of what it's going to be for me going on a road trip with my dad from Georgia to Maine. Sure. In a time where we don't get to spend a lot of time together, we're going to be spending at least 15 to 20 hours together in the car. So
at least
we might get detoured. We don't have to be at the wedding until the 11th. So there are some YouTube friends of ours that live throughout the country from between his house and his other house. And we might pop in and visit some of them along the way.
That would be an excellent little movie for you.
That's a possibility. So I don't know. There's moments like watching this Van Neistat stuff where I go, why don't we plan more stuff like this? Why don't we plan more adventures like this? Like, or is it just my stupid brain that goes, I'm in, let's go. I mean, I don't know. Do you ever have that moment?
No, I don't think it's just your brain. I mean, I think all of us would like to do it. It's just, you know, sometimes unfortunately life happens and things kind of like this weekend, I'd love to be there and be a part of that whole group, but I unfortunately cannot. Unless I want to, you know, try to find a new job.
What if we took a cardboard cutout of you and like carried you around everywhere, kind of like Weekend at Bernie style?
That would be awesome.
And here's Treadaway. Like, we'll hold up a beer up to you. Oh no, he's sleepy. We'll lay you down. I'll wake up and go, oh, he's already awake. And I'll pan a camera around. You didn't sleep, buddy? And shake it. Was I snoring?
Yeah. Go brush your teeth.
Oh. Yeah. So I don't know.
And also real quick, the whole bikes thing was also a reference to the fact that you were saying, like, you know, you get these little things in your head, you're like, you know, let's do it. It was kind of a reference to our trip on January as well. So
which one in January?
Bikes.
What's happening in January?
Who's the comedian that yells bikes?
Tom Segura.
Thank you.
We're going to see Tom Segura. Oh, I forgot about Tom Segura. Yeah, I totally forgot about Tom Segura.
Yeah, we're going to see him in January in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about, you know, you get these things in your head and you kind of like, you know, try to plan these things, you did it. And you've done it. You did it with the Uncle Joey trip.
Yeah.
And you're doing it with, and you've done it a couple times with your brothers and Greg for Bert Kreischer.
Yep.
You also went with what's his name? The kid, the guy from King Hefe. You went one time, didn't you?
Yeah, Kyle Hardy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you do that. So that's what I was saying. So you were talking about that, and that brought up the idea of Tom Segura, and then you said something about bikes, and so it just.
Yeah. So also, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer have their show Two Bears, One Cave, and Bert is done filming his machine movie with Mark Hamill in Serbia.
Is he done?
He's back. He just had surgery on his left arm. Apparently he tore 56% of the muscles that connect his tricep to his elbow. And he had to have that repaired.
That's recovery time.
But they have this joke that's online about them doing an episode together where they're talking about the possibility of becoming friends with Jennifer Aniston and like doing a future project together, a movie with her. And they've in their heads, they've written several scripts on the show talking about things they want to do. There's one idea they have about going cross country on a trip with Johnny Depp. And it's like a drunken adventure cross country in a convertible it's just all kind of funny stuff that's supposed to go on. But they also wrote another script about fat astronauts, about how, you know, people today are getting fatter and fatter, but space travel is becoming a thing. So they got to test out their equipment on average people. So they picked these two idiots to be the fat astronaut. That's a movie thing that they just pitched on the air. And they're like, oh, this is too good. And like, they call up one of their buddies who's a movie producer, and he goes, "Stop talking now. Just stop talking. We're going to do this later." So part of it was they talked about hanging out with Jennifer Aniston and doing a project, and Bert was geeking out saying, "You know, you better not meet her without me. If you meet her while I'm in Serbia, I'm going to lose my crap." So anyway, they have an episode that came out yesterday where apparently Tom did get to meet her and showed Bert pictures, and Bert is losing his mind. Cause Tom does a lot of movies. He's been doing more and more acting lately. He was in a Mark Wahlberg movie, Family Guy or something like that, where Mark had adopted these two kids. Him and his wife had adopted these two kids, and Tom was like their neighbor buddy. And he's been doing more and more stuff though. I totally forgot about another movie I watched. Good on Paper. I got to write that down. Good on Paper. Okay. So Good on Paper is Eliza Schlesinger. She's a really
funny. I know who Eliza is.
Hilarious comedian. This is loosely based on a true story about a lie. That's how it starts off. It's got that tagline. Loosely based on a true story about a lie. So basically the premise, the preview show you that she meets this guy and he tells her that he's from Yale, that he went to Yale and he's like a hedge funder and this and that and the other. And she slowly unravels the fact that he's been lying to her every step of the way. And now she's in a relationship with him. And she's like, none of this is real. Like it's a very interesting story. And also in the show, she's a comedian. And so like some names are changed and stuff like that, but it's loosely based on something that really happened to her.
Oh, wow.
It's good. It's actually really funny too. Good on Paper. Yeah. So Eliza's been doing stuff with Mark Wahlberg too. She was in that one where he beats up Post Malone in the prison and he's like a thief or something. And she's like his Boston girlfriend. And I don't remember the name of it.
Not sure about that one. Never seen anything with Post Malone in it as a character.
Yeah. That's how they actually started the preview on. It was on Netflix. Mark Wahlberg sitting in a prison cafeteria and Post Malone comes up to him and starts talking trash to him. And Mark Wahlberg beats his ass in the cafeteria there. And Eliza Schlesinger is like his girlfriend. Anyway, she's been doing more acting. Tom's been doing more acting. They were a couple in that movie that they did together. All my favorite comedians are becoming actors, and it's getting funny for me because I recognize them, and my wife's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, I'm geeking out. This is so-and-so and that's them. And this is them. And meanwhile, they're all friends with Whitney Cummings, who's making project after project. And everyone's amazed that Whitney is as successful as she is. And like, oh, she's just creating everything in Hollywood and no one knows about it. So
and she's just a firecracker.
She is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, without her, there wouldn't be a Eliza Schlesinger or Taylor Thomason.
Well, and the greatest thing about it is she's given everybody full reign to create their own stuff and basically greenlit everybody to also fail and it be okay. Like she openly talks about her failures as well as her successes and say, listen, the reason these succeeded is because I failed at these other ones. And don't ever stop feeding the thing that makes you successful, because at the end of the day, either you made it or you didn't. If you got to chase your goal, then great. You did it. You went after it and you achieved it. But, you know, she's creating a different empire. And now that Joe's not in Los Angeles, she's got the biggest podcast in Los Angeles.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. Yeah. She's creating her own compound. She's got her own little group of girls that come around all the time. She's got other male comedians that are on there all the time. She did a 5-hour podcast with Bert Kreischer on the Bertcast.
Wow.
And I couldn't stop watching. Every second of it was gold. I was just like, I love everything that's happening right now. And in there, Bert even, he makes a comment. He goes, this may be the longest podcast I ever did in here. And I was like, no, it wasn't. I was around for the longer ones. He did a 6-hour one with Doug Stanhope where they split it into two episodes because halfway through it was like time to eat dinner. And Doug's like, I could eat dinner. So Doug ate dinner with his wife and kids and then came back and they got really drunk and did three and a half more hours. So it was like a 6-hour podcast. And he did one with John Reap.
I don't know if I can handle 6 hours of Doug Stanhope though.
You know, John Reap, that thing got a hammer, that guy.
Yeah.
He's actually from Durham, North Carolina. he does a lot of comedy up in North Carolina, especially around like Charlie Goodnight's and what's the one in Charlotte, the Comedy Zone, which is where I saw Joey and Bert. His parents are not doing well, so he's kind of moved back home to help take care of them. But yeah, he's friends with Bert and went out there to do a podcast, and they got really trashed, and they did like a 5 hour and 48 minute podcast where they were just drunk. I mean, almost to the point you can't decipher what either one of them is saying drunk.
We got close to that on your 2 year.
Yeah. I don't remember what I said.
I've actually gone back once and like kind of like listened, like kind of fast forwarded through it just to see what kind of topics we've touched. It's 5 hours is a lot of content.
You could say it's rough. It's rough.
It's a little rough, but it's funny. I mean, it is funny. Once we got to the point where people were ordering food to go and eating pizza and forgetting they ate pizza. And
well, see, that's the thing. Like some of these podcasts that I listen to, especially on Joe's podcast, where guests get on there and they talk intensely for like an hour, hour and a half. And then they, at a certain point, realize, wow, I've drank all this stuff and I need to go pee. And they go, can we take a break? I got to go pee. He goes, just go. Or sometimes Joe's like, hey, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I got to go to the bathroom. Like he just leaves the room and like most people go, you should edit that out. And he goes, why? It's real life.
It's real life. Yeah.
And the weird part is when that happens, people even listen more because they're like, what happened during that part? Cause sometimes
you said that you were impressed because you looked and there was actually people who actually listened to the whole 5 hours.
Oh yeah. I even had comments from people going, hey man, it reminded me of hanging out with my friends back home. I just turn you guys on every now and then and hang out with you guys. And I'm like, really? Okay.
That's exactly what that was supposed to be.
Exactly.
Just a friendly hang.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't all get together at the same time, so we got together best way we could.
I still like the fact that every now and then I get a comment from someone saying, you should do your research better. I'm like, this is not a research podcast. This is called Stuff I Heard.
Stuff I Heard.
Yeah.
This not is stuff
like,
I know.
This is like rumors and lies. This is one shade away from being, I don't know. I'm just making this up, man. Oh, goodness.
We're just giving you content, guys. Just something to listen to on the road.
Right. Well, you know, I got a lot of comments when we were doing all the Star Wars stuff I got some people that were listening that were like, I'm sick and tired of this Star Wars stuff. And yet my numbers were just going through the roof on like new listeners every week. And I'm like, okay, well, you're hating it, but other people are loving it because I'm, you know. Hey. But then the WandaVision thing was even bigger. I was like, holy crap. I guess because we were regular, because it was like a regular.
Yeah, it was about every, because I was working. I had every Monday off. You were still out of work, so you had every Monday off. So we kind of,
yeah.
I mean, we pretty much hit that every Monday.
Yeah. Well, since I've gone to, I don't know, a non-schedule, things have sort of tapered down a lot. But, you know, whatever. Life is what it is. We just try to do what we can.
Make it happen when we can. I mean, I'm usually, if you let me know ahead of time, if you know when you're off, I mean, I can probably get up in the morning and do it. I just, last night, I didn't realize it, and I stayed up a little later than I should have. So.
Well, even when I'm off, I'm not necessarily off because life, you know.
Well, yeah.
There's always stuff to do. But hey, listen, I want you to know that because you were tentatively planning to come and go with us to visit Greg, we actually have a bed in the other room now. So we were planning. We were like, we got to make sure we have a bed for Treadaway in case he comes. And it was like, oh yeah, we got to have a bed. So this is a brand new bed. Never been slept on.
Oh,
just saying. Don't worry. We're going to put a mattress cover on it because we're aware of the dragon. So.
it's Treadaway.
But yeah, so there's a new bed in there, and yeah, good things are happening. Tomorrow is actually my grandson's birthday. He's turning 5. He just started 5K yesterday. I'm like, oh, little stinker's growing up so quick, man. I'm gonna blink my eyes and be like, Grandpa, teach me how to drive.
Like, yeah, I had my friend Chris and his wife Jen came down to Myrtle Beach about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I remember going to their daughter's first birthday party.
Oh, wow.
And now she's like almost as tall as me. And I'm like, stop growing. Stop making me feel real old.
Yeah. Yeah. My uncle used to tell me, he says, I never feel old until I see you. And I was like, what? And he goes, man, you don't know, man. You were a little kid and now you're like not. And I was like, yeah, okay. But also, like, I understand, because I remember when I was a kid thinking how ginormous he was to me as a kid. You know, he was bigger than life. He was like the Incredible Hulk. And then now, like, we're almost eye to eye. And I'm like, he's not that big. I mean, he used to be bigger, but, you know, whatever. I used to be little, so it's all perspective.
You weren't really that little. I was little.
I was little until chicken nuggets were invented. That ruined that plan.
All right, well, I don't know how you were before I met you, but when I met you, you were a good sized gentleman. Well, gentleman was a very loose term to use for that, but you know.
Yes, that was a very loose term.
Menace.
No.
Not maniacal.
My mom says, what was the term I heard her say? I guess Amanda asked her something about, is there anything I need to know about Josh or something like that? And then my mom goes, yeah, he's predictably unpredictable. And I guess back then I was. So I don't know. It's been different. It's been different as I've gotten older. I guess I realized my role with the kids was just to be predictable, because they had enough chaos in their life. They needed something steady. And so my role changed to be as predictable as possible, to be as steady as possible. And, you know, sometimes you need stability in your life.
Yeah. It's been a tough one for me, but the predictability has actually helped a little bit more of a stable mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we just sound like old
people. I still like to get stupid though.
Well,
just got to be more careful when I get stupid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We won't talk about it.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. We won't talk about that.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Thanks for listening. So anyway, well, I can tell your doggy needs to go out, and I'm out of topics.
Yeah. She's just been a whiny butt because it's rained all day and she can't go out until it stops raining, because she won't.
I was going to talk to you about space travel and Teslas and aliens and, you know, well, all the usual topics, but.
Well, we didn't discuss anything about Bezos and Branson going to the space. And.
Well, I mean, I talked about it on my solo one, but it's basically Richard Branson's going to be the first. He's going to be seen as the first civilian who ventured out into space on his own. And everybody else was sort of like, how you do that? I want to do that. Now, if they came to you right now and they said, hey, would you like to get on Branson's plane spaceship thingy? Or would you like to take off like Bezos? I got to tell you, I'm on Branson's plane thingy, because that looks way safer and way less vomiting-ish.
Yeah. Well, they had the whole joking thing. Did you see the meme where they compared him to Dr. Evil?
Yes. Yeah, Bezos, Dr. Evil. Look, it's a giant flying dick. Because his spaceship kind of like a giant penis. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. But also, like, I mean, I know a rocket is supposed to be the most efficient way energy-wise to escape Earth's gravity, but it looks way more violent and way more painful and way more destructive than a plane that's going to take off and get you to a certain level, and then you just
I definitely like that idea better. I mean, there's much more. I mean, I hate to bring it up, but as we were kids, I mean, we saw with the Challenger. I mean, there's a lot more things that can go wrong.
Yeah,
with that type of rocket versus doing what
it's way more violent. Yeah,
yeah.
But also, I mean, the thing with Branson is, like, with that plane idea, a lot of us have been on planes before, and you look at that and you go, well, that doesn't look way more crazy than a plane ride. I mean, at a certain point you get really high and then the thing drops down and the space thruster gets you up, and then you have zero gravity and you're like, oh, zero gravity. And then you land like a plane. That doesn't seem that bad.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
it seems more realistic, honestly.
It seems more realistic. It seems more like people would enjoy it.
Right.
And like, kind of like I talked before, this may be the spark of a thing that, that it gets someone else's imagination growing into, okay, cool. Now that we've done it, let's build a easier way to do it. Or let's build a more economical way of doing it. Or let's figure out a way to make it more enjoyable for larger groups of people.
For me, it reminded me of the episode of the movie, First Contact.
Yes.
You know, and then there was always the joke of the meme that came out. It's like, what if UFOs are just billionaires from other planets?
Yes. Or what if they're actually here as billionaires?
Yeah. Well, Bezos is definitely an alien.
I mean, Musk may be too. It's possible. Of course, I like the conversation that he and Joe Rogan had on the last podcast where they were talking about it. And I think it came from a discussion with Duncan Trussell where Joe says, what if aliens aren't actual things? What if they're ideas? We just happen to be receptors.
You've said that one before, as far as like an idea pops in your head. And
I've thought that before, but I've never said it out loud until he said it. And then I was like, I have totally thought that before, but I was like, that's a good point. What if some people are just more receptive? What if people are conduits for ideas? I mean,
it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you got guys like, you know,
Steve Jobs,
Albert Einstein, who, you know, patented so many different things. You got Ben Franklin, who patented so many different things, inventing, you know,
Nikola Tesla.
Tesla.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a concept that it has merit. And with that, keep thinking, people.
Yeah. I like it. I want some more weird in my life. I saw a car the other day in traffic, had a sticker on the back window. It says, make Florence weirder. And I was like, I immediately laughed out loud seeing it. Cause I was like, yeah, absolutely. Why not? Make it weirder.
Make it weirder.
You know.
Speaking of weird, have you seen the preview for Free Guy?
Yes. Yes, and I want to watch it. There's going to be a lot of content this next month that's coming out. There's Free Guy. You also got What If from the Marvel Universe.
What did I see that I wanted to see? Oh man, I was just wanting to talk about it a second ago. Venom and Carnage.
Oh, that's coming out this month?
I believe it comes out this month, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
I might be wrong. I saw a preview for it. I didn't get to see what date. I know it's coming up soon. I don't know if it's before. I think it's going to be after, actually. It may be later. It's after the Ten Rings. So, yeah, we got a lot of Marvel content coming.
When is Doctor Strange? Do you know?
So right now, my understanding is it's supposed to be around Christmas.
Okay.
I think they're going to release the Spider-Man first. The Tom Holland one.
Yeah.
Not the Carnage, but the new one that's going to kind of introduce the idea of the multiverse a little bit more. And then Strange is supposed to take it over to like the next level. And I guess that's when we're going to possibly see Wanda and all this other stuff.
Well, I've been seeing lately content online of people saying, go back and watch Doctor Strange again, because the elder explains all of this, but she does it so quickly that you sort of lose it because she glazes over it. And I've said that before when I watched Doctor Strange the first time, my first thought was, I'm going to have to watch this a lot to catch all of the little Easter eggs in this, because there is so much that is mentioned and seen and done.
Yeah, I've watched it twice and I still haven't gotten, I mean, I still don't feel like I've watched the actual movie and gotten everything out of it.
I feel like I need to watch it with someone smarter than me so they can point out what I'm missing. You know?
I'm sure there's a YouTube where someone's done that.
Yeah. I mean, but like, it'd be cool if I knew somebody who was like they could sit next to me and just pause it and go, do you see that part? Okay, so they're explaining this part. Like someone like me, but not me. You know what I mean?
I got you.
I kind of do that with my wife when we're watching anything having to do with Star Wars. You know, I'm like, did you see that part? That's so-and-so from this. And she's like, yeah, I don't care.
It's not as fun when they say they don't care, though.
I know. But listen, there's only so much you can take in a day, right? And at a certain point, you have to go, I don't care anymore. So I guess she's at that point.
Oh, it's Star Wars. You should never reset.
I know. But it's like, okay, so let's say that you were the average female and you were like, ooh, Thor, and you watched Thor. And then you got roped into somehow watching Avengers. And then like, hey, I need you to watch these 12 other series. And you're like, nah.
Not going to happen. Nope,
right.
Not gonna happen.
Right. Most people are going to be like, nah.
Nah.
Is Helmsworth in it? Nah, I ain't going to watch it. But now there's a whole Tom Middleton thing that he has his own fan following of crazy chicks who think he's it. And, you know, yeah. I'm sure that they watched Loki 100 times already. And I think I may rewatch it because I thought it was really good.
I want to watch the final episode again because when we meet Kang, there's so much content that he's talking about in there. It reminds me of the scene in The Matrix.
So, yeah, the third Matrix.
The architect.
Yeah.
And he just talks and you like you kind of feel like you kind of get the idea, but you know that he's kind of over your head a little bit and yep. You need to re-listen to it again just to get everything. I think there's things that I missed.
So instead of doing that, I was trying to remember that YouTube page I was telling you about. It's called Emergency Abstract.
Okay.
I think that's, you know what? I got the ability to look it up right now.
That's right. You got the TV facing you now.
Yeah. So there's this group. They go through all of the stuff that we like and they break it down into videos that are really easy to digest. Yeah, I got the new fancy back here now.
You got the new.
I feel like I'm like doing stuff, you know? No, it's called Emergency Awesome.
Emergency Awesome.
I think that's it. I'm going alphabetical. Yeah, Emergency Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, just to give you a hint as to what they're into, this is the order of their videos. They got a Rick and Morty season 5, episode 7, top 10 breakdown Easter eggs.
Oh,
A Venom, Let There Be Carnage trailer, Spider-Man Marvel Easter egg. A Shang-Chi trailer, how the Mandarin created Iron Man explained. Marvel What If trailer, Spider-Man becomes Doctor Strange explained. I mean, dude, seriously? Every one of these videos is like, I want to watch that one. I want to watch that one. Okay. So if I scroll down, the exact video you want to see, Loki Kang deleted scenes in season 2 featurette breakdown is 11 minutes and 34 seconds. It's 31,000 views. And right underneath it, Loki episode 6 finale, Kang full Marvel history breakdown and more. And then another one, Loki episode 6 alternate ending post credit scene explained.
Okay.
So, and Loki season 2 top 10 Kang predictions breakdown and Marvel something something. I'm telling you, this is the bomb. This channel, this is one of my most enjoyable channels that I watch on YouTube.
Well, I will be watching it in a few minutes.
Emergency Awesome. Yeah.
Emergency Awesome.
Yeah. Yep. I think I'm going to get off this and watch these because I haven't seen it.
I'm going to let the dogs out and probably turn it on myself, as a matter of fact.
Because I haven't seen these. I did watch the one that's right before it, the Loki episode 6 finale, Marvel top 10 breakdown, Easter eggs and more. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. That's a good stuff.
Your eyes are focused so hard.
Oh, dude. There's so much geekiness that I'm enjoying. What?
Dude. We are living in a very, very wonderful age to be the kind of people we are.
How Loki and Kang set up Marvel Phase 4 movies and What If.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it changes everything. I mean, that the Loki can the show Loki has basically created, the whole universe can change.
Yeah. So these videos, some of these are like 1.6 million views, 1.8 million, 1.4 million.
Sounds like they know what they're doing.
It's good quality. And it's editing done in a way that I wish I could do editing. I mean, from the very beginning, I'm just like, God, why can't I do that?
You can.
I don't know how.
That's the beauty of you, Josh. You'll make yourself learn how because you want to.
I know. I'll sit with my laptop in my lap and I'll yell out something crazy like I did when I was learning how to do this My wife heard me say more than once, if I could just get my brain to work harder. And then I figured it out. I don't know how. Ideas.
There you go.
I'm full of aliens, baby.
You're an alien.
We just went full circle.
Receptor. You're an alien receptor. All right, brother.
All right, I got
to get the dog outside. She's going nuts.
Okay. Have fun. Thank you for being part of this. You got anything to promote?
Nothing to promote. I don't. Carolina Pines RV Park. Come check it
go.
Out.
There you go. Tell them I'm here to see Josh.
And it's weird. You'll. It's not. It's unlike any campground you've ever been to.
Yeah. I did something last week. My wife really enjoyed. After I did the.
You can't talk about that on this. Your mom's listening.
No. Not that. Where I did this thing where I said, you know, the usual, if you like this, rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. I said, and always cue the cow, moo, baby. And then I did the cow. She was like, I like that part. Do that part again. I was like, what? I don't know. It's so interesting. She's like my producer or whatever, and my wife. And she's so cute and adorable. She was telling me she listens to these people talk about Disney. And then she does this phone call with a lady who's a travel agent, and it's one of the ladies from the show.
Oh, really?
Like, she's like, it's so cool to talk to her. Cause like I listened to her all the week and then I talked to her and she goes, I mean, like you, but I'm like, I live with you. And I was like, thanks, babe. Appreciate it.
It's all right.
I get it.
When you're famous, she'll be happy to do it to you.
I get it. I had the same feeling when I met Bert. So I get it. Whatever. It is what it is. We're just people, right?
Hey, some of us are.
Somebody's going to bump into you in the trailer park and be like, I listened to all the episodes with you on it. You're like, what? Will you have a drink with me? I'm like, all right. So anyway, thank you everybody for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And as always, cue the cow. Moo baby.